1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Isaiah 43 was given to us as the Old Testament passage for today in the lectionary, the schedule that we follow. Based on this passage, weeks ago, I submitted a sermon title that I thought might be just a little witty. So the sermon title, Flood and Fire Insurance. And then these past few days, the fires in Southern California have been causing historical destruction, and it's not done yet. If you or any of your loved ones have experienced loss due to these fires, sincere condolences. Like many of you, I know numerous people in California, Southern California, Los Angeles, and most of them, their homes remain untouched for now. But sadly, I know a few people whose homes were completely burned to the ground, completely destroyed. And it reminded me of the book of Job, where people question, why do bad things happen to good people? Why was this person's home destroyed when this person's home was spared? When I was in my lower 20s, I was a youth pastor at a Korean immigrant church here in the United States. I was driving to Friday night youth group meeting. I was a few blocks away from the church, and I was at a red light, and this large plumbing truck rear-ended me. My car flew a few feet forward, and it was almost comical. The back half of my brown Toyota Corolla was crunched in half. Somehow, it drove to my church, and people were laughing. They were like, how did your car drive like that? And people said to me, Joe, your face is pale. There's no blood in your face. Sit down before you faint. And the senior pastor, Reverend Park, took me to his office, and he said to me, Joe, you didn't do anything wrong. He said, a lot of times when bad things happen, we think God is punishing us. We think we sinned and brought this destruction. He said, Joe, you didn't do anything wrong. And I am here to tell you today, if hardship and destruction and flood and fire has come into your life, you didn't do anything wrong. Because if we are in Christ, our sins are forgiven and our guilt is erased. When you experience loss and destruction, when you walk through flood and fire, the fires in California inspired me to add just one more scripture to cross-reference. I'll just read it. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you. Whether it's the physical fires in Southern California or the hardships that you have been experiencing in your life, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. And that passage goes on to explain that sometimes being a Christian will cause even more suffering in your life. Today's New Testament passage, God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. He will always provide a way out. There is often a subtlety and mystery in the scriptures, and that this passage makes me wonder, is it not implied that God will test you right up to your limit and your breaking point? One family I know, I went to college with both the husband and wife, and then I went to seminary with the husband. They have a family of four. Their house in Southern California completely burnt to the ground. And like the book of Job, I'm sure people are wondering, out of all these ministers we know in Southern California, why was his house burnt to the ground? And I can say with great confidence, it is not because of their sin. God is not punishing them. This is getting a little philosophical here, but I really believe perhaps God has deemed that they have the character and strength to withstand this trial, and that somehow they will turn it around and give glory to God. In today's Old Testament passage, it says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. It doesn't say if you pass through the flood. It doesn't say if you walk through the fire. The scripture makes it very clear. You will walk through the flood, and you will walk through the fire. I suppose if we are glass half empty, this verse causes panic. But I suppose if we are glass half full, in a strange way, it provides comfort. Because we will walk through the flood. We will walk through the fire. We will not be overwhelmed. We will stand victorious with our faith and our integrity intact in Christ. And it will be a great testimony for God's glory. So let it comfort you that you will walk through flood and fire. When I was in my 20s, I honestly thought my life would be perfect. There are studies done about tracking in like academics, in career, in salary, and I really believed I was on the right track. I really believed that the projectile and the graph of my life would just keep going up and up and up. And then in my early 30s, I learned that the graph of my life would be like this, up and down, unexpected turns, disappointments, hardships. Driving this morning to Princeton brought out some insecurities in me. I'm sure there are many smart and diligent and disciplined people here at Nassau Church. And the insecurity in me wondered, is someone going to ask me where I went to school? And I prepared my answer. I can confidently say I went to the school of hard knocks. And I know that if the scripture is true, you went to the same school too. Because the Lord says all of us will walk through flood and walk through fire. Years ago, I heard a sermon illustration. A young boy could not complete the puzzle in his home. He was so distraught. He was so frustrated. He went to his father and asked for help. You know, when someone tells a sermon illustration that's a preacher story, it means it's not true. It's just there to teach us a lesson. But I was listening to this sermon when my son was in lower elementary school years ago, and it was a surreal moment because that illustration was taking place in my home every night. We had a very easy puzzle, 50 pieces, the 50 United States. And every night, my son would try to solve it, and he would get frustrated, and then he would eat his humble pie and come to me for help. He said, "Dad, help me." And I knew where every state went. I tried not to do it too quickly. And with amazement, he said, "How did you know where that piece went? How did you know that?" And then every night when I tried to get him involved and get him to complete the puzzle with me, he always said, "How did you know that?" Now he's a teenager, he's not so nice. When I stand in glory, when I meet our Creator God face to face, I'm going to follow the example of Isaiah chapter 6. The first thing I'm going to do is worship and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." The second thing I do is follow Isaiah and cry out for mercy. Throw myself at the merciful hands of God. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." The third thing I do is going off track of Isaiah chapter 6. In all honesty, I don't think I can control it. I am going to complain and vent to our almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God. And it's going to take me a long time. "God, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this go wrong? Why did this not work out for me? Why were there so many broken pieces in my life? Why was my life so messy? Why was it so hard? So broken?" And I know that God will pick up all those broken pieces and put them together, and I will be whole and I will be healed. A man named Chuck Colson served as President Nixon's counsel. He was called Nixon's hatchet man. If you know the story, he went to jail for his role in the Watergate scandal. After getting out of jail, he started a ministry called Prison Fellowship. One of the most well-known ministries that grew out of that was Angel Tree Program, where people like you and I buy gifts for the families of those who are in prison. I read in a few places where Chuck Colson wrote, he would say, "I had so many accomplishments in my life that I was proud of. But the one thing that God could use so that I could do ministry, so that I could reach people, the one thing that qualified me was the most shameful part of my life, going to jail." Personally, I never went to jail, and I hope to keep it that way. But I have had struggles. I have had some sufferings. And that is exactly what qualifies me to minister to those who are struggling and those who are suffering. That is exactly what authenticates me to minister to others who are broken and to reach a world that is broken. Today's scripture confirms you will go through the ringer. You will walk the gauntlet. You will get your teeth kicked in by life and by people and by politics. You will be broken. But God can take those broken pieces and put them back together. And God can use your life, even the broken parts, especially the broken parts, for great purposes. Thanks be to God.